hypocrisy is adequate. The unspoken American creed, etched into our history books, it reads. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. But are we really? Are we really? This book will tell tales of America's proud patriotic history, but you won't find a drop of ink depicting the tectonic struggle of ebony versus ivory over emerald green. This nation's elevation on black backs reminiscent of African plates forcibly submersed under Eurasian pressure.
Welcome, welcome. This is Sharon Smith, and this is Iambic Podcast. And this is our part two to our feature with Brandon Leake.
Pointed out about the you've taken little bits and pieces from other artists to incorporate your own style. In 2016, you brought out your album, In My Thoughts.
This is for the Christians who love recklessly. This is for the Christians who love recklessly, even when it's inconvenient to themselves, because love is always worth it. This is for the Christians who are slow to speak and quick to listen. For words won't do justice for the job that silence was made for. This is to the Christians who are humble enough to not always speak.
And with in mind, what was the process like of you bringing out an album, and then also you also toured with that album too? So
yeah, that was like my first like national tour, but tour that took me out of California. Like, for real, for real. Because I had done it with a couple of friends of mine who started a band entitled Retro Love, which got me to Oregon for the first time ever in my life.
Nice.
And so I made this album entitled In My Thoughts mainly because when I got exposed to spoken word, a friend of mine defined it as poetry that's better heard instead of read. And I was like, yo, that is a freaking phenomenal description, right? I'm like, that is like so beautifully expressed, in my opinion. So how do I now incorporate that into, like, how do I incorporate what he just said into what I do, right? I met an artist by the name of Micah Bournier, who had a poetry album in which I listened to, and I was like, man, once again, stealing like an artist, I want to make something like this. And so I made an album. I actually had like a short EP that I put out that was on Bandcamp called Poetic Movement. There's only one poem off there that's actually any good. Actually, there's two. The other three are really bad. When In My Thoughts came out, it was originally just supposed to be my first time really going to the studio. It was supposed to be another short EP, like 5 or 6 poems, and learning the process of being able to make an album for myself, because I wanted to learn how to do some of the production stuff, how to find my voice on production. And I wanted to be able to learn how to convey my poems more passionately on wax. And the producer, who was a friend of mine named Peter Powers, he was like, yo, Brandon, since we already gonna be here, ain't no reason for us to not just make a full album. So if you have more poems, we may as well record them and do that. And so I had a few more poems that I had written, and I was like, yo, I'm gonna tie this all together with this like loose thread of this story for the album. And it became this project that I was super proud of at the time, and I'm still proud of, but just not nearly as happy with it as I once was.
But like you said, it did carry you from your home out to the world for you to keep going and stuff. So, yeah, obviously that was a win-win. That actually,
man, definitely, without a doubt, like it gave me a voice in a way that like very few people in my family have ever had, and gave me an opportunity to share a part of myself with the world that I don't think many people have ever known.
So I was gonna say, it seemed like you've always been on tour. You've always had a tour, which is surprising me. I mean, I've known you for so long. I know you've gone out and like maybe done little shows and this and that, or even big shows and stuff, but I never knew that you were actually on tour with people and stuff. And with that in mind, I've actually thought of it. I've looked at it as, I call it a circuit poet. So meaning that you actually, just like comedians or even like or recording artists, they will, you know, bring out an album or bring out a body of work, and then go to show, and even go out of town, doing other venues to perform the work. And you've taken that poetry aspect of it, whereas, you know, a comedian or even a musician would go with music or comedy, you take it with poetry. Do you see that as a interesting thought? Even your peers are now, you know, your peers are now roadies, not roadies, but there are road comics or musicians out there. Have you ever thought of like that, being a circuit poet?
I have. It's been an interesting thought experiment, thinking about like how, we look at poetry as like a culture, because I don't think many people have ever looked at it from the perspective of like, yo, like, I like going to go hit the road is what I should go do, you know? Because it, how to phrase it? Cause like, where do you go? You know, like, right. What are the venues that are like, yo, like I'm trying to bring out like spoken word poetry to my venue. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of places that aren't really checking for us as artists to come out and come display our talents to them. And if there are, then for the people who are trying to bring us out, it's not a whole lot of money. You have to put far more bread up to get it done than what you'll inevitably get back oftentimes. And so it's not like super financially prosperous for the artists to go out there and go do either. And so it becomes an interesting thought as to like, yo, like, why should poets go out and go tour? And for myself, the reason was because if I want poetry to be valued in the same respect that like music is valued, then inevitably what's going to happen is we have to begin to do what musical artists go out and do. And they go tour, they go travel, they hit the road. For me, I was like, yo, I never just wanted to be a local artist. I've always had the pursuit of wanting to be more. And not to say that like being a local artist is a bad thing. It was just my pursuit for myself personally was rooted in this idea that I felt that if I got into the right venue, and I had the right eyes on me, that I could do essentially like what an up-and-coming rapper does in getting their name out into the world. So yeah, in a way, I do see my peers as, you know, the hip-hop artists who go out there and do the underground circuit, the comedians who are trying to branch out into the comedic world, and things to that nature, but I also very much see my peers as the fellow poets who are on the grind trying to find their voice and find a place and a niche for themselves.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because you basically, from Because you basically went the spoken word, like they call it the spoken word poet route. But like you said, it is a, you are in the grind with the rappers and the comedians and stuff. So,
I mean, and to say this, man, I am not unique in this methodology of going out and touring. Like, right. I mean, you look at artists, like, for instance, I said his name earlier, like Rudy Francisco and people like him. You will see that, like, there are a wealth of poets who go out into the community and who are traveling, who are doing this thing, like, as their profession, day in, day out, from workshops being led to all sorts of stuff happening on their end, pushing the culture forward. It's beautiful to see and inspiring on my end because I'm just a small portion of what's happening. And being able to participate in it is a true honor because, like, I'm just living in the footsteps of essentially the giants who came before me.
Most definitely. So you got a position at working your workshops at some schools and stuff. And I see that you working doing workshops at school, being an educator. You also were able to make some anthologies over at the schools, like at Brookside Elementary and then also at JMC. What is JMC?
John McClandis.
Okay.
Essentially like a bunch of white folks.
it's all good.
Get their names etched into school histories. But yeah, I did get that opportunity, which is a really beautiful thing, to be able to go and teach poetry workshops in after-school programs here in my local city of Stockton. Lincoln Unified School District gave me a beautiful chance to show my talents to them and to be able to share. And so essentially I came up with this workshop series entitled Dreamers. And what it's based on is we teach kids to dream. We go there and we give them some writing prompts. We teach them some pieces of figurative language and we work on just the essential basics of how to utilize that piece of information and that writing prompt, to be able to share and find out a part of themselves that they may have otherwise ignored or not utilized all that much. And be able to see value in themselves in a way that a lot of people don't see value in themselves or don't even see value in writing. Cause I can also say that. Because we wanted to make writing fun for kids, because too often times writing for kids is merely just an exercise. It's just like, oh, hey, you know, like you get graded for this. This isn't rooted in any type of enjoyment or entertainment. And kids never learn how to be able to write for fun and to express themselves for fun. And so I wanted to create an opportunity for kids to find themselves enjoying themselves writing as opposed to just writing for the sake of getting a good grade.
So that also, you also had the book B-Side along with it. Was that in the same year spectrum or?
B-Sides, no. So I started doing poetry workshops back in like 2016. So that's like 4 years ago. That is hilariously funny. So I started doing poetry workshops back in like 2016. And what I did after the workshops was I became a full-time teacher. And in becoming a full-time teacher, I did that because I had gotten married and I knew that I wanted to, in getting married, I knew that I wanted to make sure that I could provide for my family. And it was one of those things where I was like, yo, I have to kind of put poetry on the back burner for a season. But I, during that time, I had all these poems I was writing, that I just never shared with anybody. And I was like, all right, cool. So what I can do now is I talked to my wife and I said, hey, yo, I want to go back on the road. I want to tour again. And she told me, okay, if we can do this responsibly, then you can go. And so I said, okay, cool. So what does responsibly look like? And she said, if the bills can get paid and we're not going to die of starvation from you going out and touring, then it's all you. And I said, all right, cool. Well, I can most certainly do that. We had plotted out a course of what the tour would look like, and what we would need monthly. So I went about the process of booking it out, and I knew I had another album I wanted to make. And so my book B-Sides came out the same time that my album Deficiencies to Tell from My Dark Side came out.
Okay. And congratulations on your marriage. You're getting close to your fourth anniversary?
Third. Yeah, okay. In 2017.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. But congratulations, man. You're getting close to it. 3 years.
Coming up on it, man. Yeah, coming up on it.
So with this, we always I wanna, before I get into the ultimate thing coming up, I always wanna bring in this part here. This is why I always ask every poet and stuff. So in the poetry community, we have people who write books and literature and stuff and read it to the public, or they, you know, it's a book for the public to read. We call them page poets. Whereas the people who are on stage doing theatrics or doing hard-on speeches or any kind of, or musical-wise, we call them stage poets. And we always see that there's always a little bit of a tension between. So, but we still know that those are the two things that are right now out. So we always call it the page versus the stage. So Brandon, I'm going to ask you, what do you feel comfortable in? The page, stage, or both?
If people were going to categorize me in a particular lane, they would more than likely throw me into that page category or into that stage category, because of the way in which I go about my performances. It's always been interesting to me, like hearing that dichotomous view about how poetry is interpreted and felt and taken care of in our community. And the main reason why it's always been interesting to me has been because, like, I never really understood why there had to be this like feuding between these two parties. Like, we're all in this artistic journey trying to lay claim to space for ourselves together. Like, there's nobody here who the stage poet gets the opportunity to create space for the page poet to be able to go do what they do.
Right.
In a way that a lot of people don't understand. Same way that a page poet can create space for a stage poet to go do what they do. And it inevitably just comes back down to, what do you like? Are you about building, or are you about like the selfish pursuit of your own individualized desires? Yeah, I don't really subscribe to the whole viewpoint of page versus stage, but I know that it is something that does exist.
So you'd be mostly both then, or are you just
No, I would say I'm mainly a stage performer, because like a lot of my performance is heavily based on my ability to convey emotion through vocal perceptions.
Uh-huh.
But like, if you gave me a piece of pen and paper and said, like, hey, create something for somebody to be able to understand just by listening to you, I could most certainly do that without equivocation.
Okay. And just wanted to point out that you also you've also performed at Sacramento Poetry now almost three, four times and stuff.
Oh yeah, I've done Sacramento Poetry Center. When I first came to Sacramento, people told me don't do it because it was filled with like a whole bunch of old white people.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, evidently y'all don't know what city I just left. I'm like, that doesn't bother me in the least bit. And I remember going there and I got like a whole lot of love. it was super fun. I've probably sold in for my first tour, I probably sold the most merch I ever sold at Sacramento Poetry Center.
Oh, well, I'm glad I gave it to you. Most definitely. And you also came in second during or for the first Sacramento Poetry Quarterly Slam. So,
yes, I did. It was if there was anybody who I felt comfortable losing to, it was going to be the woman who I lost to that day.
Natachi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you both were at it. I give you that much. You both were at each other's. And I was like, wow. She came out with the fury. I thought, like, oh, he's going to take him. But no. Nah, so coming out, you basically did a YouTube show called Poets and Politics, where it was you, 2 Cent, David, and yes, and also Stacey G.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Poets and Politics, the podcast where poets and politics end up intertwining. Don't know if that's going to be our slogan moving forward, but that's what it is for today. My name is Brandon Leek, and I'll be one of your 4 hosts for this reoccurring podcast. To my left, we have
2 Cent.
A lovely poet who will tell you about himself in a short second. And then to my right, we have...
And yes.
And Stacey G.
A fellow poet from both Sacramento and Davis.
And you've done 4 episodes already. So, 1, what's it about? And then 2, are there going to be any more episodes?
Yeah, so we've actually recorded like 5 or 6. I just haven't like released any of the new content yet. And also I'm trying to still get edited. So Poets and Politics was just a brainchild idea that I had about like, yo, like let's like, you know, like poetry inevitably becomes a political statement. And so like we get the chance to provide our end of the spectrum with a viewpoint on like our political viewpoints and things to that nature. So how about we create a podcast where we can freely discuss all things in the poetic world, all things in the political world, because inevitably whatever's happening in the political landscape is going to be turned into a poem anyway. And so I asked some of my friends who I knew, who were like very active in the poetry community, and who had like varying like religious views, social views and things of that nature. If they'd be down to come participate and hang out and do the podcast with me. And yeah, a lot of them were down, which was really beautiful because the podcast would not be what it is without the many varied voices that we have on that podcast.
Okay. And just to let you know, we have done interviews with all 3 of them. So you're actually the last, ironically. So, and I know your latest album, Tales of My Dark Side, Deficiencies, Tales of My Dark Side.
There is a search and rescue within the corridors of my mind, closely examining all aspects of who I am, from the way that I smile, to the shape of my nose, to my temperament and ambition, this insistent combing through every single part of my being in hopes that I may find some resemblance of you. You, my father, the man who is half responsible for my existence. I am searching for you in hopes that I may find.
It has been blowing up. And how do you feel about that album right now?
Man, I feel great. I'm proud of myself for having created something that I think is a true reflection of me as a person, in that particular season of life. I'm not that angry anymore. but at that time, I most certainly was. And I think that there's a space and place for that type of frustration and anger to exist and for it to be okay. Which was great for me because for a long time, I never created that space or opportunity for myself to be able to feel those types of emotions. Yeah, it was a real cathartic experience for me doing that album because it gave me an opportunity to show people the vulnerable side of Brandon poetically that I was even afraid to show people. I'm talking about things like my former addiction to pornography, to talking about things like my battle with my battles with like identity issues regarding like my father and his absenteeism and things of that nature. And so like was able to give people a real eyeglass or a window into my past experiences and in my life. So yeah, it was great. Super proud of it, super happy that I did it. Will I ever make an album like that again? No. I hope that I don't have to come out of a season of lament like that ever again. But you know, life happens. Sad stuff goes down.
But that also gave you a world tour, which also took you to Africa, South Africa, and also New Zealand.
Yes. Actually, I didn't end up getting the chance to go to South Africa. I was supposed to. That didn't happen. Mainly due to finances. South Africa did not have a whole lot of financial capital to be able to pay for a bunch of stuff for me.
Right.
Like they were able to pay me for my time, but they weren't going to be able to like pay me to, like they weren't going to be able to pay me to get there or do anything when I got there, really. And like I was gonna, they were also like didn't have any like finances to like cover my stay anywhere. And so I was like, okay, cool, like I wanna come. And then the like the final straw that kinda like ended the topic of discussion was one of them were like, hey yo, so like have you looked into hotels? And I was like, yeah, man. So like I'm looking at this place right now. They're like, oh, my brother, you know, I love you. Don't want you to be in danger, so don't stay in that side of town. And I'm like, dog, if I'm coming, I don't want to have to worry about like dying in the wrong part of town.
True that.
But, like, yo, bro, if I'm coming, then we gotta figure this out. And so when that whole wrong side of town thing, I just kind of said, all right, cool, well, yo, I can wait. I can come to South Africa a different time under better circumstances that'll be more ideal for everybody, as opposed to me being worried about not making it home. And so we squashed that until the next tour. And when the next tour happens, then we'll be back out there again. It'll be fun. Well, not back out there again. We'll be back out there for the first time.
Most definitely. All right, now we're going to come up with the biggest one. Everyone's been, I know people have been hyping about, and I know you're totally enthusiastic about it and fully excited about America Got Talent being one of the contestants.
I think that we see on AGT that people show up in the face of adversity with a dream, and we watch those dreams come true. Now the world is facing adversity, and the talent that shows up on our show has inspired us to just keep going.
How, I mean, even when you told me, I was like, what? They can do that? So tell me how, well, tell me and my our listeners, how you got on, and plus, and when's your appearance coming on your show, so you know.
Yeah, man. So my journey with AGT is actually pretty lengthy and funny. I tried out for America's Got Talent back in 2016. Yeah, 2016.
Okay.
No, 2017. It was the first year of my marriage. And I tried out for the show because I was like, yo, I wanna get on, and I think it'd be like a great platform. And I never even watched the show, if I'm being like bluntly honest about it. Like not on like some oh yo, like that show's not good enough for me type of a thing. I had just like honestly never watched America's Got Talent. And I was like, all right, cool. Well, like, let me go try out because they're coming to the Bay Area. And so I went to go try out and I didn't make it. Because what they'll tell you is, if we're interested, we'll send you an email. And that's almost always indicative of the fact that you didn't make the show. And so, tried out, didn't make it. And then I went on tour. And I learned a lot. I grew as a writer. I grew up as a performer. I grew as a person. And what came about after that was, knowing that my daughter was coming, it was like similar circumstances where I was like, yep, like right before I'd gone on tour, I'd gotten married, knew I was taking a pause and a break to be able to just be a husband for a year. And then I toured for a year after being married for a year, after touring for a year, having a baby, going to take a year off so that way I can just be a father. And, I was like, yo, same way I tried out for AGT when I was married, I'm going to try out for AGT, you know, my kid's here. And I went, tried out, I don't know. See, the thing is, I don't know how much details I can give out, but I'm just going to go there. So I had tried out, and the way they do it is they break you into groups of 10, and it's like thousands of people who show up to try out for this thing. And they're like, what's your talent? I'm like, I'm doing poetry. And they're like, oh, we'll just throw you with the singers. So they throw me in a group with like 8 singers and this other poet. She's like a teenager, and like all these singers are going in this, and they put you in a room with like a camera and a talent agent. And they say, you have 90 seconds, go. And, I noticed that like as these singers are going up, like the talent agent like looks at them for like maybe 10 or 15 seconds, and then he like looks down and starts doing whatever he's doing. And I'm like, okay. They're not captivating him. They're not getting his attention. You have to grab him in those first 10 to 15 seconds. And if you don't, then you're pretty much done. And then the person, I end up going last in my group. And the person right before me was the other poet. And this young little girl, this young teenage girl, does this poem about Jesus. And I'm listening to it. I'm like, yo, yes, I'm rocking with this poem. But this is not going to get you on national television. Like, I love it. But this isn't necessarily like what they're trying to, because like you have to think about it. It's as much about your marketability as it is about your talent. Like okay. if you are talented, because like think about this. Like if you go to a record label, like and you're like a dope rapper, but like they don't have a way to be able to put you in a market to sell,
right.
Then it's going to be very hard for you to get signed. I think about like the potential, like if you were a potentially gay rapper in the 90s or early 2000s, like there would be no space for you. You know what I mean? Because there was no acceptance for that type of lifestyle at the time. There'd be no market to be able to sell you in a lane of hip hop or rap at that time. Where now there is. So when it comes to my talent, I knew that I wanted to display a story that they'd be able to appeal to the masses somewhat. And so I did a poem about my sister, and I got a call back and was asked to be able to come back and perform for the main judges of Simon, Howie, Sophia and Heidi, and that's history there.
Tell them what time or what day will be the show and stuff, or your appearance you know of.
Yeah, man. So the show officially drops May 26th, It's a Tuesday, and it'll be happening every Tuesday until sometime through like September or something like that, if I make it that far in the show. I'm either going to be on the May 26th show or I'll be on the July 7th show. So watch the premiere. And if I'm not on that one, then just tune in weekly and try to find me, or just wait till July 7th to tune in to what I'm doing.
And it's on NBC.
Yes, it's on NBC. And if you don't, if you're like, man, I ain't got cable, I'm sure you have Hulu, and NBC is on Hulu.
It is. Well, no doubt, man. Hey, congratulations on your daughter, one. Two, congratulations on you getting onto America's Got Talent. You may be one of the first poets to actually get in there and do some damage. And, man, I'm proud of you. I don't care what anybody says. I'm proud of you. And even in your route and your way you're going. And so why don't you let the, since we're getting ready to close and stuff, why don't you let the listeners get your social media and your website?
Yeah, man. I mean, if I'm being honest, it's just, if you go to Google and you type my name in, Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N, last name Leak, L-E-A-K-E, and then you type in C-T-M afterwards, everything that you're going to look for me will pop up from my website, which is called themoveCTM.org. I have tons of fresh merchandise up there in terms of like shirts, sweaters, even sweats, hats, beanies, cool stuff. You can get that there. You'll find my album on like all streaming platforms. You'll find my book on Amazon. You'll find me on all social medias, Brandon Leak CTM. If you use Twitter, you're going to be highly disappointed with me because I don't really use Twitter. but yeah, so that's where you can find me at. Just my name. And CTM stands for Call to Move.
There you go. All right, people, there you go. CTM, Call to Move. If you're feeling the call movement, yo, get on Brandon's social media and his website. Check him out. Coming up, he may be on the May 26th show, or maybe in all the other shows. It's supposed to be a Tuesday. Every Tuesday, check him out. See if he's on America's Got Talent. And when you see him, you'll understand why he was the next one chosen. Thank you, Brandon, for coming out on our show. And let's say thank you, everyone. Be safe out there, and peace.
Adios.
For more information, please go to linktr.ee/iambiczine. IAMBICZINE. Thank you.